I want my Cuban sandwich on hand as I walk in. This is a Liam Cohn podcast, Steve. That's what this is. My mother was still putting my socks on in the bed to get me ready for school. That ended when I was about 14.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford. Anything else, Ira? We won't call you late for dinner.
Cosmo's proud parent. There you go.
This is going to be a fiery and feisty Ira Kaufman podcast,
Well, how's it going to be any more fiery than a couple of, you know, a previous
podcast? I think it might. I think it might get there.
I might walk out. How do you like that?
I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. Look at the smile on Ira's face. Lee's back.
I smile when Lee's back. Welcome back, Mr. DeCamper. We missed you. It's not the same. We were reviewing a few comments. We need Lee DeCamper on that podcast. He adds a lot of spice. So welcome back, Mr. D. And we're not going to talk about Shaq Barrett today. How do you like that?
Well, I got to apologize, Ira, to your listeners. I was out of line. I just get... I apologize, Ira. I just get too freaking worked up about edge rushing.
We love the passion, Lee. We love the passion.
Passion's one thing, asinine behavior is another. And that's what
it was. It's Jason Light's fault.
I just wish people in power at One Buck would be as passionate about an edge rush as half as passionate as I am, but I don't know.
We're all in agreement on one thing. Their edge rush sticks. Nobody's arguing that.
I've mentally, driving here, have tried to be calm, relax. I don't know if that's good or not, but I don't want to be a mental patient. So I sleep in this morning about 9, jump in the shower, get up. It's about 10. We were meeting at roughly quarter after 11 in your kingdom, Newport Richie.
That's right.
Right about when I was about ready to leave. I checked my phone one last time before I hit the door. Offensive coordinator candidate surfaces. Oh, shoot. So I have to hurry up, and I write a story real quick, and I'm out the door. Never had any coffee yet, so then I grab coffee. Then I listen to Nonpoint and Motorhead. Then I listen to one of the greatest. Then I listen to one of the greatest lyrics of all time from David Lee Roth. We're getting funny in the back of my car. I'm sorry, honey, if I took you just a little too far.
Oh.
And so I was listening to all this meditation music and lyrics. Coming over here trying to be calm.
Well, I was listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan. Not bad.
That's beyond not bad.
What do you listen
excellent.
To, Excellent. You know, little Jason Aldean or something? A little country? What do you think?
Come on, Ira, we know you're listening to Bad Bunny all the time. I hear it. Anyway, Sage, I was listening to the voice in my head that said, shop first at Bill Curry Ford. That's what you got to do. Weekend is when people love to go shopping for a vehicle. Make it Bill Curry Ford. Our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru is Sean Sullivan.
Those deals are running out, Stevie. They're running out.
They are. You got to see them all right now at BillCurryFord.com. But Sage, Sean Sullivan, he's our draft guru. He doubles as the in his part-time job as Bill Curry Ford general manager. But you know what? I told him we'd come out to see him next week and record with him. So we're going to have to pick
like
a time.
That.
He's available, too. So we're going to have a feisty one. Maybe
we'll bring Baker Mayfield with us. It'll be a hell of a podcast.
Kick off our February version of the podcast, looking into next season and all the off-season fun that we're going to be having with Sean. But Bill Curry Ford, they're open on Sundays now for express service, Ira. So no excuses. You can get to Bill Curry Ford anytime. You know, you can even order lunch at Bill Curry Ford online in their fancy cafe and order. It'll be ready for you when you get there for service.
I want you to do that next week when we show up over there.
I think I might do that.
I want my Cuban sandwich on hand as I walk in.
I might do that, Ira, but seriously, family-owned makes a difference. Since 1960, they're a mile north of the stadium, and don't mess around.
1960? Lee, you weren't even around, Lee.
No, I wasn't.
They will work with you in any way they can. They've got loaner vehicles. If you need service, just get to BillCurryFord.com.
And by the way, Steve, speaking of 1960, I was about 6. Lee, my mother was still putting my socks on in the bed to get me ready for school. Now, before you laugh about that.
No, I'm not laughing.
What a pampered kid.
No,
I'm colorblind, Lee. She can't have me walk in with one brown sock and one green sock. So she used to put my socks on. That ended when I was about 14. She put my socks on till I was about 14.
And I'm just curious, is that because you only bought one, or she only bought one color to make sure you don't?
Well, she wanted to make sure I didn't mix them up and get ridiculed by the. I was getting ridiculed anyway. They called me the penguin in elementary school because I walked with a little wobble. They called me the penguin. And now they're calling me that on the tennis court, Steve. And by the way, you and I are going to mix it up on the court in the next couple of weeks. The weather's going to get nice.
Yeah, I got my sea legs under me. We're going to get after it, Ira. Florida's Elite Restoration, We're going to talk about them later, but they are the number one source in the Tampa Bay area when you have fire damage, water damage, mold. You are the water damage whisperer. And we know Josh Martin, the owner of the company, Florida's Elite Restoration. They're family-owned. They're fantastic. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Get there today. Be prepared. And we'll talk about some of the things that they do a little bit later, Ira. Sage, Liam Cohen. Liam Cohen is gone.
This is a Liam Cohen podcast, Steve. That's what this is.
He's the head coach of the Jaguars now. And a lot of things have happened. We've heard all kinds of unsourced reports. Now, one report out there has the name of a Buccaneers official on it. Nothing. Not a statement. Now, keep in mind, in 2017, this team, in December, this team issued a public statement when Deshaun Jackson's vehicle that he was not driving was engaged in a car accident. They put out a public statement. Jackson wasn't hurt. The whole fan base is in complete disarray. Mayhem has ensued across Tampa Bay.
Across the nation.
And they got nothing to say.
Not even a statement.
No.
Not even a statement.
No, not even a statement. So anyway, Ira, look, we all have our strong opinions here, and we'll go around the horn. I'll go last or second, whatever you want. But we'll throw it to you. What is some of your biggest takeaways as to what happened in this nonsense of the Cohen, I'm here, I'm not here, I'm gone, I'm not gone, I'm gone?
The first thing that strikes me, Lee, and I really can't get my arms around this. This Shad Khan, again, proving himself as a clown. Why would you give Liam Cohen all this power? Why are you obsessed with Liam Cohen? Did nobody else show any interest in your head coach opening? Nobody? Where you have to beg, get on bended knee, fire the general manager, tell him he's going to have a big input in picking the next general manager, and shower him with all kinds of money for a guy that's never been a head coach. Now, I'm not saying Liam Cohen didn't do a wonderful job. He did in 2024. He had a lot to work with, but he maximized it. He did a really good job, creative play caller. He's about to find out that head coach is a whole nother animal. So I'm going to look at it from Jacksonville's perspective for just a second, and I'm going to say, one, he's going to get fired in about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, you said on Russo.
This is the sixth coach for Khan, I think, he took over in 2012. This is a guy who fired the first coach he ever hired. He fired him after 1 year. Lee, Mike Mularkey, 1 year. So I just don't think it's going to work. Is it a bad move for Cohn? No, I can't say that. And I'll give you an example. Bobby Slowick is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
You're king of the world as an offensive coordinator 1 year.
Yes.
And then it doesn't really improve and maybe even regresses. And then nobody's talking about you. And then you lose your job. So that had to be in the back of Cohn's mind also. I think Cohn played it very well. It was unseemly what he did on Thursday.
Allegedly.
Was unseemly.
What did he do?
He kept the Bucs in the dark. He didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of the reason, Steve, that he did it is when he went up the second time, he wasn't 100% sure he was going to get the job. He might have felt 90%, but it could fall through. So he didn't want to alienate the Bucs at that time. Now, what did the Bucs do wrong? I don't think they did anything wrong. Lee, I'm going to leave this up to you. What more could they do? The Glazers stepped up. In the words of Isbitt, show them the money. I think they did.
Ira, we're going to go.
And they wanted them.
We're going to go to Lee next, but you've lost your mind, Ira. Lost your mind.
You mean that the Bucs didn't do anything wrong?
I just want to make sure if anybody turns off this podcast now,
I might walk off over here, Stevie.
That they know that this is nonsense.
Do you want Lee to go? Or you
yes,
want...
I want Lee to go.
Right. Lee, did the Bucs do anything wrong?
They weren't proactive enough. Now, there are some at risk of ticking off a lot of fans. I can't sit here and say a guy who won 10 games and has done nothing but win divisions when he got the job, you can him. I can't go there. I'm sorry. A lot of Bucs fans wanted that to happen.
And they wanted Cohn to be the guy to replace
precisely.
Him.
Now, I'm not talking that kind of proactive. The day after the Washington game, they should have sat down with Cohn and said, look, man, we're going to make it worth your time. Stay here. Do what they took them 2 weeks to do. Here's $4.5 million, whatever. We'll guarantee you're the highest paid offensive coordinator. Stick around one more year.
Do you also guarantee that he's going to be the head coach of the Bucs when Bowles is not the head coach of the Bucs?
Well, Bowles doesn't know when he's leaving. That's it.
I'm just saying, is that part of the stipulation you give Cohn? You lock yourself in that Cohn's going to be
if he wanted that, yeah. Yeah. Obviously, you don't know when that is. Could be next year. Could be 6 years from now. We don't know. Bowles doesn't even know. I would have done that, yeah. However, I'm sure Cohn wanted a firmer date. especially when he has Khan after him. Now, having said that, I don't blame Cohn. I remember a doctor told me this maybe 20 years ago. I met this guy through recreational activities. I never used his, he was an oncologist. Thank God I didn't need to use him. Anyway, he told me, he said, we were talking about ethics one time, and he said, there's business, and then there's ethics. Don't combine both. And that always stuck with me. And that's what I think of here. Was Cohn ethical? If you believe everything that's been reported, no, he was not. You know, one of the things, one of the charges was he used his child as a shield. When you start bringing people's families.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, when you start bringing people's families, that's when I got to tap the brakes. That's when I got to tap the brakes. So I don't know what is true and what isn't. The Bucks are in their cone of silence after someone with the Bucks sure was chatty a couple of days ago. They're not chatty now. I don't blame Cohn, especially. He said on record, his last press conference, his dream was to become a head coach.
Yes, he did.
You got a guy throwing $13 million in your face a year and the power to influence your general manager. How can you turn that down?
There was nothing the Bucks could do at that point, Steve, to keep him. You're saying they should have done something a month ago?
The moment the Chargers game was over, and everybody knew for the 10th time that Cohn is the real freaking deal, tearing up in December, the NFL's top defense at the time.
Keep going.
Everybody knew he needed to come back.
Go ahead.
Bottom line.
Go ahead.
That was when the Glazers needed to pick up the phone, call Jason Light, and say, Jason, this guy needs to be locked up. No interviews for him. We need to put money in his pocket by Christmas. That's your deadline. We're going to roll him out at a news conference right after Christmas, and we're going to announce it to the world and let everybody in the whole world and the NFL media know this guy's not even on the coaching list for this year, and that's how we're going
to
do this.
What makes you think Cohn's going to agree to that?
I'll tell you why. Because
money talks.
The Glazers offering him a raise to
significant.
Be to what? Let's just say it was $5 million.
That's not head coach money necessarily.
Let's say it was $5 million was his raise to become the highest paid offensive coordinator, okay? That's a raise. From what? Was he making $1.5 million? Two?
Keep going.
Okay, so, Liam, we're not going to give you a nickel up front. We're just going to promise you more money, a raise, and we know you want to be a head coach in years down the road anyway. That's not exciting. What's exciting is, Liam, here's your check for $9 million. Merry Christmas. Put it in the bank. Put it in the bank now.
$9 million for 1 year?
Here's your $9 million bonus to continue for your great job you did. And it comes with one stipulation. You do not go on an interview. Otherwise, you must repay the money at 5% interest.
The man wants to be a head coach, Steve.
On December 20th, does he take $9 million and put it in the bank?
You don't know that he would.
No, but they didn't offer it. What we hear was, at least in the sourced report from ESPN, we hear that as soon as they got the call from Jacksonville, right after the regular season ended, requesting permission to talk to Liam Cohn, and then the Glazers said, Jason, find out what he wants to stay.
Mm.
Cohn gave him a number, and they met it. Well, that's too late. They had one job. To make sure he doesn't take an interview.
One job.
Now, the story has come out that the Glazers encouraged him, Liam, take the Jacksonville interview anyway. It'll be a good learning experience for you. Stupid. You're going to tell your daughter to go date the guy you don't like just for fun?
The homeless dude?
So I put it on the Glazers because it was their responsibility. They dropped the ball. Doesn't mean they acted unprofessionally. Doesn't mean they didn't want him. Doesn't mean they weren't acting as good professional owners, but they blew it.
Here's one flaw in your thinking, Stevie. You said after the Chargers.
Floor or flaw? That's the Brooklynese.
He said after the Chargers game. Lee, after the Chargers game, as dominant a win as that was and as great a job as Cohn did that day.
No playoffs.
There was no certainty the Bucks were going to make the playoffs. So at that time, you don't even know if Bowles is going to be your coach next year. And you might be thinking of Cohn being your head coach.
True.
So
true.
Steve, you're assuming Cohn was going to take any deal that the Bucks laid on their table, as sweet as the Glazers could make it. And as Lee said, I want to be a head coach in this league. I want to be a head coach. He leveraged a very good season into a head coach job. And Steve, you could talk all you want about giving him putting the money down. Yeah, he's a money grabber, and he got it. But he also wanted that head coach position. And they certainly couldn't promise that Bowles was going to be gone after the Chargers game.
Why would they promise anything? Take the money. You have to promise Liam Cohn not to take an interview.
He wanted the head coaching job.
Great. Then he would have had to pay the money back, and at least they tried their best. They didn't try their best. That's my problem, Ira. They didn't try their best. And if the Glazers were sitting here and you said, hey, Joel, why didn't you do something sooner? Put some money in his pocket, make a big show of it, embarrass him if he even wants to go on an interview, make him look like a traitor before he even gets started. Why didn't you do that, Joel? Well, we didn't.
He felt he could maximize his great season as an offensive coordinator.
He did.
And use it as leverage to get a head coaching job. And he did, Lee. And he did. When the day's over, he made more money than the Glazers were going to give him, even in Steve's wild scenario.
Wild.
So, and get the power to pick his own general manager. Now, look, I don't think it's going to work for Cone in Northeast Florida. I don't, because I think that's a moribund franchise.
Moribund, I love that word.
That's going nowhere. But Cone got what he wanted, Lee. He got what he wanted. Steve, I understand maybe the Glazers were a little too late, because once he got that first interview, now Cone was mesmerized.
Yes, apparently.
Mesmerized to the point of firing Balky, which he wouldn't do before that.
Here's the thing. I don't know if you're factoring this in or not, Ira, about Balky. Apparently, he's reviled in NFL circles. Apparently, that's why Ben Johnson didn't take the job.
He's turned off a lot of candidates.
And then when Cone, you know, obviously it had to reach Cone. C-O-N? No, C-H-A-N.
Yeah.
It had to reach Cone.
And maybe Cone even mentioned it in the first interview. I'm not comfortable with Balky.
When Cone turned him down, and like you said, he may have mentioned it, that's probably when the light bulb went on. Like, you know, I'm not going to get anybody unless I get rid of this bum. And that was a significant factor, of course.
Steve, I still don't understand why Khan's given Cone all this power.
All right, I'll explain it to you very simply. First, number one, this whole coach and waiting chatter that people talk about drives me nuts. The Rooney Rule prohibits that. Can't do that. We promised Lee in the job in writing. Screw the Rooney Rule.
Even Arians didn't do that with Bulls.
So,
right?
Well, not publicly. You're setting up my next question. If it's a minority coach in waiting, does that cover?
Sure, of course.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
No Rooney Rule if you're hiring a minority candidate. So it's not even an issue. As far as Cone giving him the money, well.
And the power.
Now, the power.
I got the power.
Is there a phenomenal general manager candidate out there that everybody's dying to get? No, there's not. So, I mean, what's he going to do? Of course, if you have your coach first, you're going to let him talk to the guy and figure it out.
Maybe Cone tries to pluck somebody from the Rams that he's familiar
with. So, I'm scared to death he's going to get Kevin Carberry. He's going to do it with Chucky. He hired an offensive line coach, Chucky Bill Muir, slapped the offensive coordinator label on him, which he wasn't, but that prevented him from going anywhere else.
So even if an assistant coach is under contract, if it's for a coordinator role, that guy can interview for it.
Exactly.
That precedes everything.
Right. Exactly.
I'm not worried about Carberry only because the guy who seemed to be on the money with everything, the guy, Jaguars radio voice, who has the afternoon drive
Frankie
show there.
Frankie Frangie.
He came out and said Jake Peets, who's a McVay guy, worked with Cone, who's in Seattle, was Todd Bowles' number two choice for the job, and that he and Cone are best buddies, and that Cone wants Peets to be his offensive coordinator, and Peets was a scout for 3 years with the Jags and then was a coach, and he wants to come back to the Jaguars. So it seems like...
So now we could have a battle between the Jags and the Bucks.
Yes, it seems like that could be a battle. His second choice, who knows Mayfield, Jake Peets was there in 2022, and Mayfield was there. But Cone, it's his best friend and wants him. Who knows what that's going to look like? I don't even know. But it's interesting. But I don't think Carberry's going to be that guy, is my point, that they're going to try to
Should
steal.
Buck fans, Lee, have any remorse? I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but should they have any remorse, Buck Nation? And you know this is, I don't think it's a stretch to say it's a majority of Buck Nation wanted Cone to be the head coach and Bowles to be fired. You think they got any remorse about this? Or does it matter?
Oh, for the people who wanted Cone? Oh, my gosh, funereal is their mood right now. Funereal, they're so down in the dumps. They're angry. They're bitter. To paraphrase Steve, they think the Glazers blew it, that they had an opportunity to get the coach of the future, who would have been next Sean Payton, and they keep a guy who won't go for it on 4th-and-3. All the angles that people hate Bowles for are being resurfaced and regurgitated. Oh, they're in mourning, Ira.
You could argue that. A lot of fans are glad I'm glad we didn't make him the head coach because he's a snake.
He's
slithered
a snake.
Out of town. He didn't communicate with the Bucks when he easily could have. They couldn't have stopped him anyway. All
right.
He had to do was say, guys, I love you. Shad Khan's offering.
He's making me an incredible
offer.
He's
throwing me a ton of money. I got to go talk to him. You know, but he didn't do that. Maybe he panicked.
Who knows what was going on with his family?
Right, maybe he just panicked, you know, took the slimy way out. I don't know. But it's done, and I think they got a good, probably got a good coach. I think Jacksonville, given the crappy nature of that division overall, that's not the worst spot to land, in my opinion. And, you know, we'll see if he can do it. Look at Canales. You said Tepper, horrible job, horrible place to work. Seems to be going all right there.
Seems to be.
Arrow's pointing up. The angle that Steve didn't take, he's just, you know, what some fans are saying. You know, I don't want Cohen as a coach because he's a slithery dude. We don't know that. Again, all the stuff.
He has bounced around.
He's bounced around. And I got a great story about that. I don't know if you saw it on Joe Buck's fan this morning.
I got a funny one for you. Go ahead.
But I don't want the guy because he's slithery. Oh, wait a minute. You got an absolute stand-up guy in Todd Bowles.
Belichick was slithery.
Yeah.
Look what he did to New England. Sean Payton. Look what he did to the Jets.
Sean Payton. Yeah. I've got personal experience. He's a slithery guy. Personal experience back in college, I got experience.
Parcells was slithery.
Kinda. He worked the back room. You know, you've got a stand-up guy in Todd Bowles. Make up your mind.
Interesting on that front, Rodney Harrison, having a chat on NBC with Mike Florio online about this, Rodney Harrison invoked Father Dungy. Said, I've had a lot of conversations about Liam Cohen with Father Dungy, who says Cohen is a wonderful guy, a very stand-up, high-character man. Dungy's had chats with him. So a lot of fans love Dungy. That's an interesting angle.
My experience, he was a good guy. My experience. I can only say my experience.
Well, I got to say this. Fans love some of our behind-the-scenes.
Oh, yeah, I know where you're going.
Now, Liam Cohen acted in a very non-communicative, slithery, I'm going to say, way. Not like this with the Bucks, but not the best way when he had a problem with something on JoeBucksFan.com. When all he had to do was say, hey, can I talk to these guys for a couple minutes?
Hell, I'm out there all the time.
Or reach us, you know, talk to us, whatever. So there's that in the back of my head. Also, Monday, after the Bucks season ended, I reached out to Liam Cohen to talk to him, and I asked him, hey, don't have to talk about your head coaching search or anything like that. Really want to ask you a couple of questions and a few questions about Todd Bowles. The fans are really killing him. Want to see what you think and what we can share about Todd Bowles. Didn't respond. Now, I opened a door for him to speak
Jason
about Light his head
coach. Jason didn't mind talking about Todd Bowles.
No. So that I thought was curious. Like, well, you know, he could have said a couple words about his head guy. So
this was after the season.
Monday. And I was at One Buck, and I said I'm going to be here a long time.
When the odds were great that Bowles was coming back. He still didn't want to talk about Bowles.
Correct.
My main interaction with Cohen was during training camp. He would talk to me on the side after practice and gave me some good insight. And he said, I promise, like, this is not going on the website. Oh, okay. And he gave me some really good stuff, and I appreciated that. And like I said, he needled me one time in the press. I thought it was funny. I don't know if the smile on his face was masking something else, but I just thought it was funny that, you know, you're hammering me about no long passes.
But I had the same good dealings with Cohen at training camp. He was happy to give off-the-record stuff. I talked to him about his dad, who just moved to Newport Richey.
You said
great
you wanted
guy.
To say something about him bouncing around.
Please. Yeah, this was really cool. There's a guy by the name of Matt Jones. He played this well. He's a Duke grad, but he knows how nuts people are about basketball in Kentucky. And he started a syndicated show, which turned into a network, which turned into a website. And now he's doing stuff for ESPN. He really hit a home run with this. So if anything happens on the campus of Kentucky, specifically basketball, but football too, he knows about it. He put out on Twitter last night, and he had an audio clip. And he was talking about Cohen yesterday. And he said a year ago he was in Manhattan just walking down the sidewalk, bouncing around Manhattan. And he's reading his Twitter while he's walking around. And he sees a report, he said, from a Tampa Bay media source that the Bucks are talking to Liam Cohen. And
the Jacks?
No, the Bucks are talking about Liam Cohen to bring him in as offensive coordinator. He retweets that. He said not long after that he gets a call from Cohen. Why are you putting that out there? He said, well, I didn't put it out there. That's a report from a media source in Tampa. He's like, well, I'm not going anywhere. You got to do something, but I'm sticking around. He's like, hey, I'm sorry. I just retweeted it. And he said he didn't get a chance to take it down because, again, he was walking around. He wanted to get back in his hotel room or get on his laptop, whatever. 2 hours later, after Cohen hung up, 2 hours later, Liam Cohen was just announced by the Buccaneers as your new offensive coordinator.
Slithery, Steve. Slithery.
All right. You know, I have to say I feel better, Ira. After getting my rant out, I feel better.
That's good. He's taking over for me.
I actually feel better. So
you've been strong that the Glazers needed to step up. You've been very strong on that. It doesn't mean it would have worked. It
doesn't
mean
it would have worked. Does the buck stops with them? And this was an organizational decision. It wasn't a Jason Light move. Of course, Jason Light wanted him there. And, of course, if Jason Light had the freedom, I'm sure he would have said, hey, Liam, let's lock this up. You know,
I like the fact we take a pot shot at the Glazers once in a while. I think that's fine.
We're honest.
When somebody thinks it's merited.
I like the ownership group, and they've done a great job. It doesn't mean they're perfect.
Hey, you know what? It may turn out to be a fantastic move for the franchise.
Absolutely.
So there's that. We're just dealing in the real time right now. Sage, real time right now, anything could happen at your home. You could get that water damage, that flood. It's just reality. You could go home, Ira, all of a sudden, you don't know what the hell is going on behind your washing machine. It's a crisis. You have to know who to call. Florida's Elite Restoration is the company. This is so critical for homeowners. You can't just, like, oh my gosh, start cleaning stuff up and call a random plumber and then call your insurance company.
You need a professional.
And then call your insurance company. You're gonna get screwed. And this happened to me. I don't know, it was 2007 or something like that. It was mind-boggling. If I knew about Florida's Elite Restoration, it would have changed my life.
So you call Josh's crew first.
You call them first before you call your insurance company. They'll come out, give you a full evaluation of what's happening at your property. And then if you want them to do your restoration, if you want them to help rebuild, they can do everything. And they cover the whole Bay Area. Check out their Google reviews, 5 stars across the board. They cover beyond the Bay Area as well. So
and a Sage discount to boot.
Sage discount. Yeah, I forgot about the Sage discount.
The monarch of mold.
There you go.
I was thinking the monarch of mildew. But mold is better because it's more serious and you need a licensed mold remediation specialist. The Sage discount means you just mention Ira or Joe Bucksman when you first call. And if you need them, if you sign on, then you get your discount. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. All right, Ira. So Cohen, he has to be replaced.
Yes.
And I feel very strongly that, and trying to be realistic here, this has to be Baker Mayfield's call.
I'm glad you said that.
Because
I think it's going to be a very collaborative call between Mayfield and Bowles.
Collaborative.
And I look at it from this perspective, Ira. He's got 2 years left on his contract. He's way underpaid. There's 10 quarterbacks now making $50 million or more. 10. And he's making 33, which puts him at like 18th. He's a top 10 quarterback. He's proven it. He will be in tremendous demand in free agency in a couple of years.
Ooh. And he's only 29, I believe.
He turns 30. So 30 this season, 31 next season, 32. Somebody could get him 32, 33, 34. Still prime years.
Jags.
So look around the league. Look around the NFL at how many Sean McVay disciples are head coaches and coordinators. Mayfield's already proven he can be a success in that system. I mean, they're all got to be looking at him. If it came to that, like, this guy's perfect. 32 years old. He knows the system. He's been a Pro Bowler in it. Let's go. So Mayfield's going to get top dollar in a couple of years. And the Bucs have a window now to win. But Mayfield's got to like the guy calling plays who may be the next coach after Todd Bowles.
Steve, you got to add quickly. This is an attractive job, Lee.
This
ain't 2017. It's not a team that went 5-11. The offense plodding along. Quarterback making all kinds of mistakes. There's a lot of talent on that side. And I think Godwin's coming back, by the way. Yeah, I've been doing some work on that. There's a lot to like about this Buck offense.
Of course.
And so you don't take it's not like you're going to have a shortage of suitors.
So what you're saying, Ira, shortly after it became clear Cohen was gone, that Jason Light's phone was getting quite a few incoming texts?
I think so. But Steve's point is right. Mayfield
has
is
going to
have
involved.
A huge clout here.
Yeah. Because why bring a guy in that he's going to clash with? That's stupid.
I agree with you, except I got to take a little bit of the other side. Doesn't every offensive coordinator who might come here know that Todd Bowles only has 1 year left?
That too.
So that in some people that may be attractive, in others
yeah,
that
bridge.
May be completely unattractive.
A guy who likes Mayfield, a guy who worked with Mayfield, and I just thought of him, and now, damn it, Todd Haley. I just thought of that. Todd Haley.
All right, let's talk about some candidates, Steve. Well, what do we got?
He worked with Alex Van Pelt.
I like
in
him.
The Browns, and he's a good guy. He's been here before.
Van Pelt worked with
Freeman.
Josh Freeman in 2010, and we know what happened. And I'm not going to blame Van Pelt for the disintegration of Josh Freeman because there were a lot of other things involved.
Yeah, they had nothing to do with Van Pelt.
That were Freeman's fault.
People always say, I hate Channel ruining Freeman, and my reply is always, Freeman ruined Freeman.
That's right. And Steve, I think it's worth mentioning, Van Pelt worked with Mayfield in Cleveland. If Mayfield likes Van Pelt, I think he's going to get that job. And I remember him. Very good guy from a media perspective, too. So personally, I hope he's a strong candidate.
Yeah.
What about this Bobby Slowick? Is the bloom off the rose for this guy?
We don't know if Slowick has any connection to Mayfield. And Slowick's offense wasn't very good last year.
The line stunk.
Their line was horrible.
The line stunk.
It doesn't change what his offense did.
And the offense before was good.
I mean, I'm still in mourning, Ira. I look at the way Liam Cohen schemed this Buccaneers running game and was creative enough to say we're going to put two guys in the backfield and we're going to do this and that. And I don't really run counters, but they work. We're going to start running counters. He ran circles around every running game I've seen from the Bucs in 10 years.
It helps when a Bucky Irving arrives. It helps.
So, now, Slowick comes from the Shanahan tree, and nobody schemes better than Kyle Shanahan in a run game. I don't know, but he's certainly somebody they should look at, certainly qualified.
You got to look at him.
In a perfect world, and I'm going to explain myself because I know people are going to scream.
Are you
gonna mention
Chucky?
Drunk.
Are you going to go to
no,
Chucky?
No, it does sound ridiculous on face value, but let me explain. If you're going to, as Jameis Winston would say, if you're not going to go big, go home. Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley.
Go get Lincoln Riley. Maybe the sharpest play caller in all of football. He built Mayfield into a Heisman Trophy winner. That was his coach in college. Everywhere he goes, he develops quarterbacks. Develop Caleb Williams. Develop Kyler Murray. Develop Mayfield. This guy knows what the hell he's doing. He likes to run the ball, even though he's a passing wizard.
What's he done on the NFL landscape?
Oh, that's just it. Cohen didn't do anything on the NFL
landscape. He's young, though. Iris is 40 years old, Lincoln Riley. 41,
yeah, young
something
guy,
like that.
Like Cohen.
Now,
like Cohen.
Yeah. Now, people immediately, I know, will be screaming, you stupid blankety-blank, he's making X amount of million at USC. He's on thin ice at USC. He's on thin ice there. And as Steve pointed out earlier, what a factor in this is going to be a very attractive is how long is Bowles going to be here? They'll say, wink, wink, you'll replace Todd Bowles someday. Wink, wink, you'll be the head coach when Todd leaves. So I just think that would be an absolute home run.
Should you have a tacit agreement like that for a guy that's proven nothing on the NFL level?
If he succeeds, yeah.
Ira, to me,
but do you,
to me
do, you do that before he gets the job as an enticement?
It's Lincoln Riley. I'm going to add this. Now, people say, oh, sure, you dumbass, he's making $13 million. Again, number one, he's on thin ice. Number two, just last year, Chip Kelly, who I'm not a big Chip Kelly fan, Chip Kelly was the head coach at UCLA, making really good money. He quit. And where'd he go? He took an offensive coordinator job at Ohio State. He quit. So if Chip Kelly would do that, you don't think Lincoln Riley to make $5 million a year to start out with would come and coach Baker Mayfield with, like you say, Ira, with a ready-built offense?
Some people think Chip Kelly's a candidate. I don't see it, Steve. His relationship with the Glazers, I don't see it.
Well, I'm not sure why he would want to take it. Like, I don't think they would ever make him head coach. And if he's the guy that you put in the box of, he'd look at Todd Bowles and say, I might be out of here in a year. I don't know. I mean, he obviously has a job as well.
Real quick about Chip Kelly. I never was a big Chip Kelly fan. I know a lot of college football writers, oh, my God, you thought this guy was Bear Bryant or Woody Hayes or Bobby Bowden. He didn't win crap. Won a couple Pac-12 championships. Woo-wee. But this Chip Kelly, it's out on YouTube. Go type in Shady McCoy and Chip Kelly. And there's been some other players. He's not cut out for the NFL. He treats people like little kids. He's not cut out for the NFL.
Steve, I don't want two-thirds of our listening audience to turn off this podcast right now. Based on what I'm about to say.
Uh-oh.
Would you consider an extension for Bowles at this point?
There's no point. I mean, the word is that he has a four-year deal with a fifth-year option from the Glazers. So they may exercise that option before the season and get the word out.
That doesn't mean he still can't get fired.
But it doesn't mean, not at all. They've paid off tons of coaches. So an extension? I don't know what it would serve. I mean, Todd Bowles, it would be one thing if he was a young, hot candidate, but where's he going?
It would be an indication that the Glazers like what he's doing.
If they got rid of him, who's going to run out and hire Todd Bowles as head coach for his third dance?
Well, he's already gone on record saying he's retiring after this.
Well, I don't believe anybody. So, I mean.
All right, who's an intriguing candidate for you? In-house?
The guys from the McVay tree are all interesting. So there's that. And clearly Bulls likes those guys. And Canales was in that tree as
sort
well.
Sort of, yeah.
You know, in a
he was a branch.
He was a third cousin sort of thing. So
a limb.
But I still go back, Ira, in-house, you've got Thad Lewis, 2 years with Mayfield as QB coach. If Mayfield did not want Thad Lewis as his quarterback's coach after the year with Canales, he wouldn't have been there last year.
If Mayfield signs off on Thad Lewis, what's the discussion?
Like, well, he might sign off on six guys.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. But, look, the guy went to Duke. He's smart. He's Arians' guy. And Arians, the minute they hired him in 2021, he was an intern in 2020, Arians like, this guy's the future. He's the guy.
Can I say the obvious right now?
Sure.
And Arians also thinks Byron left, which is the next Bill Walsh.
And he thinks
he
also said Rashad White was the next Edgerrin James. But I can't hold that against Lewis. I only look at Lewis as if Cone didn't want him and Mayfield didn't want him, he wouldn't have been here last year. So he's got to have very intimate knowledge of everything.
He's got to hold some cachet in the building.
So
clout.
I don't have any reason to think that he can't be a strong candidate. Somebody they're probably 100% going to interview. The interview process, Rooney Rule also extends to coordinators now. And look, Todd Bowles, each of the last 2 years has interviewed more than double-digit candidates. So we'll see what happens.
You think there's a time element to get this thing done, Lee?
No, not really.
Or could it stretch out?
If they get the right guy, I think it could stretch out.
Isn't there a guy named Grizzard that's in the background? Like a sort of a pass game coordinator?
Yeah, he's supposed to be a young wizard. He worked with Mike McDaniels, and he's in his, I think he's 34, 35, Ivy League guy. Was doing third downs and certain packages with Cohen. People like the name. It sounds cool, and, you know, he's got some pedigree, but I don't know. Nobody's in those meetings, Ira.
I don't think the Glazers and Light are going to be huge factors in this hire.
Well, I imagine the Glazers.
I don't think they are.
Who's cutting the checks?
I understand, but if Mayfield and Bowles wants this guy, I don't think the Glazers doing their individual research on the guy is going to overrule them.
I see what you mean.
I just don't.
Mayfield's got to have a strong hand. He's got to feel invested. He's got to want to stay. He's got to want to stay.
Mayfield's the key in this.
I agree.
In this hire. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he was the key in Cone. He was the key in Cone, I think.
Don't sneeze on this Van Pelt guy. Don't sneeze. He's been around. He's been to a lot.
Is that a phrase? Don't sneeze on him?
On the Van Pelt
I thought it was
guy.
Don't sleep on him.
I loved what he did with Freeman that year. That came out of nowhere, Lee. Nobody saw that. It was a long time ago. But he's been in the league ever since.
He's very well respected. And, well, you know, nobody knows. He interviewed last time. I don't know.
He did work with Mayfield in Cleveland, Steve. That could be a factor.
Absolutely. All right, Ira, look, do you think this decision, I haven't seen anything yet on social media, but I haven't been scouring it like that. Have you seen any, Lee, reaction from Bucks players to the Cohen thing yet?
No, I checked a couple. Mike Evans had a unusual Instagram post last night where he quoted the Bible verse. And I guess if you had a couple beers and tilted your head sideways like a puppy, you could make a connection, but it wasn't overt. That's the only thing I've seen.
Well, Evans might have lost his equilibrium because he might be in Galveston. They just got 3 inches of snow, so it might have thrown him totally off.
Exhausting times for Bucks fans, and
this was supposed to be a quiet off season, Steve.
Well, not anymore.
You know, once we realized Bowles was staying, I mean, you know, we're not going to get too excited about Ben Bredesen doing three podcasts on a left guard. So,
man,
things changed.
All three of us got killed by our readers because we want to jump on the Fire Bowls bandwagon.
That's right.
We had no evidence that was going to happen. So my contention was, why would anybody want to be lied to? Why would anybody want a false narrative written just to get them all worked up for nothing? I don't fly like that.
And I don't think, Steve, I don't think enough Buck fans realize the difference between being a coordinator and a head coach. It's a quantum leap.
I don't think it's even that complicated. I think they look at Bowles and say, can't win the Super Bowl. Out you go. I mean, I understand the Cohen love. I never had any tremendous belief that he was going to be a savior head coach. You just don't know until they get out there.
And by the way, when people kill us at why we're screaming for, I'm not saying Bowles is Paul Brown.
That's right. And he's got his weak spots.
Sure he does. The people in the NFL look at division titles different than a lot of fans. They look at that, okay, we're in the playoffs. Anything can happen. Hell, the Bucks were a wild card team and won the Super Bowl. So that's the way NFL people look at it. Just get us to the
Here's
dance.
Here's my offseason directive, Steve. As far as Light, Give Bowles some more defensive pieces.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Bowles, go get somebody that's in your ear during the last 5 minutes of game.
I got a something about that.
And give you some sage advice. I got a, what you're doing now, it's not working.
I got a problem with that. I got a problem with you about
that.
And you were on the radio yesterday with Tom Krasnicki on WDAE.
Yes, I was.
He asked you directly about Bowles having somebody in his ear. Why didn't you mention Jackie Davidson? She said it publicly. You know it. I know it. Lee knows it. And Krasnicki knows it. And he was scared to say her name. Why are people scared to say her name?
Because I'm...
I know why, but I'm not
going to say it. I've said her name on this podcast. And I've talked to her. You know, and I bought her a Cuban sandwich. The Buck Press Box.
Which cost you a nickel.
I don't know exactly what's going on with the phone conversations, and until I do, it's tough for me to weigh in on that.
Well, you did talk to some people
headset,
in knowledge.
Not phone, headset.
Headset.
Yeah.
Is she the only one in Bowles' ear, Lee? The only one?
Well, I don't know about that, but you did talk with some people, as Mike Florio likes to say, with knowledge of the situation. And you were told, yes, she's in Bowles' ear, but. Can you finish that sentence? But
I think the rest of the sentence was, but Bowles makes the final call. Got the authority to make the final call.
Nobody knows what she's saying.
And he does make the final call.
If she's given computer-generated data stuff, if she's using her gut along with that, we're going to find out at the Combine. We're going to pin Bowles down on this. And I'll just flat out ask him. A lot of fans think you're not making the decisions on fourth down, and you got somebody in your ear.
We're going to pin him down.
A computer wizard.
By the way, I want to say this again. I think I've said it once before. I think it's worth repeating. And Buck fans need to take a good long look at themselves. The anti-Bowles crowd.
Okay.
Which numbers in the multitudes. And you can't let that screw up your thinking, being rational. And I'll say it again, Lee. Fourth and three, down 3 points with 5 minutes left in a freaking playoff game. There's 32 head coaches. I can't think of more than two or three. Maybe Dan Campbell. Maybe somebody
Campbell
else.
Would.
That wouldn't kick that field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, Steve, it wasn't fourth and one, but everything Bowles does to these people needs to be reevaluated and criticized. I just think that's taking it too far, Steve. It's fourth and three. Did you have a problem with that field goal?
I had no problem with it. However, the whole thing's magnified because the coach on the other side of the field goes on every fourth down.
They don't always work for Dan Quinn.
Of course not. But he goes every fourth down, and he just beat your ass.
Not because he went on fourth down. That's not the reason they beat him. That's not the reason.
The reason the fans were so bent out of shape about that is their theory. And I don't think that's an inaccurate theory. Like, how can you you just watch your defense unable to force a punt? Yes, they had two fourth down stops. You just watch your defense unable to force a punt, and you put the game on the back
of
that defense.
They also made two goal line stands.
Which I did state that. They did. And that's where the fans are coming at. And I understand that theory. I understand that because the defense outside of two goal line stands, fourth down stops, outside of that, they didn't force a punt. And so it was almost expected they were going to roll.
I just don't think you could come away with 0 points on that drive. I
had no problem with it at the time.
Going for two in Kansas City. That's a full discussion.
Yeah, that I had an issue with, and I
because Mahomes is on the other side of the ball. Also,
yes,
as good as Daniel.
And by the way, I started this podcast by apologizing for being a little emotional. I even thought I might have been a little too emotional with Bowles. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, because I asked him a couple pointed
questions.
We're
fans. We can be emotional. We can.
Yeah,
but
in a professional setting, like that, it's not coaching.
Yeah, you slam a microphone. Big deal. So, Todd Bowles.
He still won one more game each of the 3 years.
Yes, he's.
Yes,
that's,
he has.
That's what people at One Buck say. Like, you know, when I talk to people at One Buck and, you know, say, I mean, the fans are just, they're fed up. And they're like, well, we're improving every year. What do you want us to do?
The main point, Steve, is Buck fans think that this was a Super Bowl team, and I don't think they were, based on the roster. I don't think
people
they were,
have hope.
I don't think they were a complete team.
I think Bucks fans are more astute than that. I think Bucks fans looked at the season and said Todd Bowles showed he had another flaw, or again, by starting slow. 3-1, and then you fell apart. Same thing you did the year before. Why?
The mid-season
malaise. Swoon.
Malaise.
Yeah. Okay.
So a lot of people look at that and say, what are we doing? And then the brutal losses to Atlanta, those are hard to forgive. When you just watch the game, they're hard to forgive.
But then the big comeback down the stretch.
And then here come the Bucks. He keeps them together very well. They're motivated. They're a lot, very much wired like coach. Like, all right, on to the next game. We're good enough to do this. We'll be fine. Just keep doing what we do. And sure enough, they won the division.
Atlanta fell apart.
They won the division by two games. That's not the playoffs.
But they were down three games.
Yeah.
They were three games out.
I understand, but you don't get a prize. You don't get a prize for being three games out. So, look, the fans see the flaws, and then they're looking at Cohen, and then they're looking at the flaws and the defense and Cohen, and just the general Todd Bowles not being a popular personality. I get it.
Could you argue Washington had a better team than the Bucs this year? Couldn't you make that argument? Of course you could.
They certainly have a better quarterback.
They're 14-5.
By the way, that's no knock on Mayfield. This kid's that good.
If Washington is 14-5, the Bucs are 10-8, which is the same number they won last year, 10 games. So remember that.
I agree. And they were 10-9 the year before, right? 10-9.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cohen's gone, Stevie.
He's gone.
Cohen's gone.
Lee, Cohen being gone, is this going to set the Bucs back?
I think, yeah. So the defense has got to pick it up next year.
Can you screw this offense up with all the pieces?
Oh, I'm not saying they're going to be bad, but I think the offense maxed out last year. I really do. I think they maxed out. Now, you can make a point that, hey, Bucky Irving will be better in his second year, and I don't disagree.
Godwin will be back, perhaps?
That will help, but I really think the offense maxed out. When I say take a step back, I'm not talking about the offense will be 20th. I'm talking about maybe 6th. You know, they may not be averaging 30 points a game or 29.5. They'll average 26, maybe 27. They won't be horrible, but I just think they were that good this year.
I look at that running game, Ira, and I'm scared. I think Cohen was that good.
He could have been that big of a factor, Steve. He could have been.
The Dan Orlovsky's of the world and people like to break down film, they just raved about how Cohen schemed up running plays.
They did add two new starters on the O-line last year. They did. Before Barton hit the wall, he was playing well. Bredesen was solid.
Barton's got working on snaps.
And Irving's outstanding. He's just outstanding.
Barton's
but
got
you're right. The scheme, schematically, Cohen ran circles around Canales in the running game.
I'm real curious to see how much they pay Bredesen. I'm sure they want him for a lot of reasons. And I hate to even mention the PFF tribe, but I was looking at I was looking at lists of free agent guards, and I came across one of the PFF lists. They gave their top 11 guards of the offseason.
Ooh.
Bredesen was not on the list.
Okay.
That's actually a positive for Bredesen.
My point is, even looking at other guards and looking at the lists and the names and stuff, it's a great year for free agent guards. So maybe that drives his price down or makes Light say, hey, you know what? I can get this guy for $7. You're not getting more than that.
Nothing. And I've many combines. I've talked to many scouts, many suits, personnel people. I've yet to find one person, not one. And these guys get paid big money to build football teams. Not one had anything positive to say about those dumbass grades from the PFF tribe. In particular, if you want to see an NFL personnel guy completely flip out, you quote an offensive line grade to them. They will go bananas. They come right out and say it's grotesquely irresponsible.
I'll tell you the flaw in PFF.
It's a guess.
You don't know what the assignments were. You don't know the responsibilities.
Exactly.
And without knowing that, and you're trying to assign a grade to the guy on a particular play, that's kind of folly. That's folly.
That's exactly what these guys said. They have no idea, or these NFL people. They say the tribe has no clue what their assignments are. I had an NFL GM. I got him going about the PFF tribe grades, offensive line in particular. This guy was so... what's the word I'm looking for? Demonstrative. He nearly fell off his chair. He was swinging his arms. Oh, my God. I mean, he just went bananas on you. So, yeah, I just. Their stats, I like their stats. I got to be fair. Their grades, I wouldn't wipe my rear end with them.
Steve, I have a personal story that I learned. You got to be careful. Here I am, 25 years old in New York. I'm covering the Giants, Ray Perkins, Phil Sims. And I'm writing UPI stories. You know, and when the game ends, they want the story, like within 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Now. So you're writing constantly, putting the stuff that happened in the first quarter at the bottom and this and that.
Yep.
Well, anyway, you know, some guy I thought got beat for a touchdown on the Giants.
Oh, I never go.
You know, against Washington or whatever.
Yeah, I remember this story.
And
yep.
And like the next day I come in, you know, at East Rutherford, and they said, we saw your story and you're completely wrong because he just happened to be the last guy that was near the receiver,
yeah.
And it wasn't him. So you got to be careful, Steve. You got to be careful.
See, this is one of my favorite stories about the PFF tribe. You told me this years ago, that they actually had an ad on Craigslist. And what was one of the requirements? Steve, I don't
remember. But they used to run
football
a lot of
football knowledge, not necessary.
Yeah.
Oh!
We'll train. Yeah.
We'll train.
What's the PFF grade on Cohn? They have a grade on Cohn out of 32?
They love Cohen. They love Cohen. You know, Lee and I have a long history with BFF. Not for this podcast, maybe another one. We did, though, since we did once accidentally enter the PFF corporate party in Indianapolis.
Which that was the famous steakhouse.
St. Elmo's?
Yeah, St. Elmo's.
They were having a private party there, and Lee and I didn't know. I guess we looked like tribesmen.
Free shrimp cocktail?
No, more than that. No. But we had at the time a Bucks assistant explain to us in detail about how the PFF tribe sells consulting services for quality control work and snap counts and things like that and other stuff. And the grades are a joke. But they do, I got to be realistic. I'm sure they do know what the guy's assignment is on half the plays, but that's not enough to put a grade on somebody. Sometimes it's pretty darn clear what's going on here.
There was a former Bucks assistant. We were at St. Elmo's, you know, set up like a Vegas lounge and couches and stuff. And we just had to be sitting there, and he recognized us, and he sat down. We're having drinks. Like I said, when I go to the combine, I ask all these guys about the PFF tribe because I want to find out if I'm completely off base or not. So where do you go? You go to the source. You go to the real football people. And I happen to ask this guy about the PFF tribe. Oh, my gosh, I love them. They save me so much work. He went on and on and on. It was as if Kate Upton just left his hotel room. And I'm like, oh, I'm thinking to myself, my God, I never heard this before. And he just kept going on and on about how much work they saved. He couldn't say enough great things about him. And I said, you're the first one I've ever heard to compliment PFF tribe on their grades. He goes, grades? I don't give a bleep about their grades. I'm talking about quality control work. They did stats for them. They did stats for Chucky and the Bucks, and they saved him like 12 hours of work a week. And he loved it. But
Steve,
grades.
You mind if Bowles takes another 3 weeks to pick an offensive coordinator?
No, look,
the players aren't coming back right now.
He's picked two good ones in a row. So whatever you got to do, Todd. Todd always seems to, if we're going to pick on Bowles, and got to point out everything, good and bad. He always seems to have the team ready for opening day. Like, they show up early in the season. So whatever he's doing is fine. He'll be fine. And as Lee mentioned earlier, they're going to do everything they can to make sure the offensive line coaches are intact. Bowles really loves the brand new tight ends coach. And whoever takes over is probably going to have to keep most of the coaches.
Pick on Bowles all you want, Lee. But he would not have conducted himself the way Cohn did a couple of days ago. He would not have done that. He would not have done that.
Our last question, Ira, and this is a good one. I can't wait to hear his... Look at his face, Lee. I can't wait to hear his answer to this. But last one, and before we do that, Florida's Elite Restoration, we can't say it enough. Go to their website now, floridaselite.com, so you are prepared 24/7. You can call them.
They are a growing company for a reason, Steve, for a reason.
And it's not just because we've got a ton of disasters around Tampa Bay. And Bill Curry Ford, also growing. They're the giant. That's the biggest, baddest, nastiest in a good way dealership in town.
Their renovation looks fantastic.
Largest service department around, 100 loaner vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. Don't forget that Sunday Service Express appointment there. You can knock it out.
Tell me what day we're meeting with Sean Sullivan next week.
We're going to settle that as soon as we're done with the podcast. So, Ira, Bucks fandom, they love you. They hate a lot of other people. And my question to you is, I know you think it's not even an issue, but if Jacksonville turns it around next year, goes 9-8 and is in the playoffs, what are Bucks fans going to be saying?
They're not going to say a word if the Bucks go 11-6 and win a couple of playoff games. I don't think they're going to care what goes on over there as long as the Bucks are winning. As long as the Bucks are winning. And if Bowles doesn't survive till 2026, so be it. They'll get another good coach in here because they're doing a pretty good job of bringing coaches in here.
Now, I got to say this, Ira. I know you're an old newsman, as you just laid out.
In many ways.
Covering the Giants in the 70s. We've seen the rise and the greatness of changes in media. We've also seen the decline in a lot of ways. And I think this week, in some ways, is showcasing the decline between all the unsourced stuff that was out there. First question is, would any of that stuff had happened years ago where you had like endless, no source, nothing?
Lee knows this, that I'm speaking from experience. When I was at the Tribune for 25 years, Lee, one, if you want to put an unsourced story for the most part, number one, you got to tell your editor who the source is.
Oh, yeah.
That's number one. If you don't do that, it's not getting in the paper, and I understand that. But number two, Lee, you've also got to give the reader a clue about where's this coming from. So you might say a league,
Leak source.
Leak
yeah.
source, or you might say a team source, but you don't just say it and it's completely unsourced. That ain't getting by, Lee.
Albert,
and now it is.
Albert Breer and all these other guys, they put out reports. None of them, all the big ones, none of them. We reached Cohen's agent and he for a comment or called Cohen for comment. Nothing even said couldn't be reached. They just didn't care about the other side, which was bananas. But Ira, also the last one, I think we're going to see whatever it is. Maybe it's Monday. I think 20 years ago, if this happened, we would see every TV news camera station and the local newspapers and others at that Jacksonville news conference when Cohen takes the podium. Or maybe going there and demanding 5 minutes with them off the stage. This time you're probably going to have nobody out there because lack of revenue and lack of desire and lack of competition. People say, screw it. We'll just grab the video. Yeah, that's a bummer.
It'll all be the local media, right, Lee?
Six people?
Yeah, six people.
All right, we're out. Ira, final word for the Bucks fans?
They're going to hire an offensive coordinator, Lee, and I think there's too much talent on that side of the ball to screw the job up. Are they going to be as good as Cone? Maybe not, but they're going to make a good hire.